Thank you for tuning in to the Church on the Rock weekly podcast. We love staying connected to you no matter where you are and hope you enjoy this week's message. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit us at churchontherock.net.
Welcome the online audience, and thank you guys for being a part of our services. Even from a distance, we love the fact that you're connected, and truly, so many of you just continue to communicate to us and say thank you for putting this stuff out there. Many of you consider our church your home, even from a distance. We love you. We consider you part of our family. Church, would you give it up? Welcome in the family from online. It's good to have you. Really is. Certainly want to welcome all of you, and then want to especially welcome all of our guests. If you're a first-time guest, I think it's a very brave thing to do to come to a church, honestly, and walk in, and people you don't know, and you don't know what to expect. And so our heart for you is that you can remain completely anonymous if you choose to do that, okay? If that's your choice, you can do that. That is not our hope. Our hope is that you just feel right at home, and we just want to welcome you in to be a part of the family. You're welcome here. You're just like us, so welcome home is how we would like to say it. So if you would just welcome all those that were brave enough to join us today. It's awesome to have you guys. It really is. So we have a lot to get to today, but the first thing that I want to do, everybody, is I want to say happy birthday. Happy birthday. And I know that you guys are like, what are you talking about? Check it out. I don't know if you knew this or not, church, but on Friday, we turned 27 years old as a church. Yeah, we did. Yes, we did. And I know I've been leading the whole time. I look pretty good for my age, don't I? No, that's not true at all. Oftentimes, people think that I started Church on the Rock. I did not. I have the great, great honor to call this place my home, and I've had that privilege for 20 years. Can you believe that? 20 years I've been a part of this house, and been able to have the distinct privilege to be the lead pastor for 8 of those 20, and it really, really is my greatest honor and passion and drive of my life. I love what I get to do, but the truth is I didn't start the church. There's a whole story before me that as our church has grown, a lot of people don't know, and so In light of the fact that we're 27 years old, it is our birthday, I wanted to give you guys an opportunity to just sort of hear some of the story of when it all began. And so not too long ago, I sat down in front of some cameras and some lights and such with our founding pastor, and we just had a conversation. I just said, hey, let's just talk to each other, and let's talk a little bit about yesterday and yesteryear and just some of the early days of the church. And so we captured a portion of that conversation, clipped it up into a video, and I want you guys just to check this out. Look at some of the history of the house.
So I'm sitting here today with Pastor Tom Outley, the founding pastor of Church on the Rock. When you planted the church in 92, you go to this hotel and you're fasting and praying. God says, start a church. When you came out of that and like the dream is born, what did you see? What were you hoping for? What was like the vision or the goal? Or I don't know that I've ever heard you talk about that.
Well, the biggest blessing of the whole thing was I was young and dumb. I actually was young enough and faithful. We had faith that God would do what only He can do.
Yeah.
Because I had no idea what to do.
Right.
I mean, when we started out, it was I thought you had to go down to DMV and get a license to be a church. You don't. I didn't know nothing.
Yeah.
And so when I got back home from that hotel and told my wife that this is what God is leading and directing, and she was confirmed by it. We started in our living room with that group. Some of them went to church, most of them didn't. And the next thing you know, we were looking for property. And so it went from my house to that office complex. And then we packed that out immediately. People were standing outside holding the doors open, trying to get in. It was amazing what God was doing. So we knew we had to move. So I began to look for property, and I got a real estate agent on a Saturday morning. We rode this county from one end to the other, and he showed me properties all over the place. And all of a sudden, I looked over at the corner of my eye, and I saw a sign laying down in the woods right on the corner of the property. And I didn't say nothing. I just kept going. So I got back. He dropped me off. I went back to the office. I got back in my car, ran over here, picked the sign up, and it said, for sale by owner.
You announced to the church
Sunday morning,
we found property we want to go to.
We want to move. Okay. This is where we're praying. We're going to walk around this property.
Yeah.
And so he said, I just don't feel like that we should finance that property. And I thought he was saying we shouldn't get the property.
Mm-hmm.
But what he intended was, we sat down at my desk and he wrote a $35,000 check and said, go buy that property debt free. least 20 of us would come over and walk this property line from one end to the other, claiming this property for Jesus. And it kind of chokes me up a little bit to think about that, because it was an amazing thing that that we had that kind of faith.
It might be, I might have a tendency to complain about walking through rocks
right now,
and I get it, you know, especially if you wear high heels, but
you need to quit wearing those.
I think I should quit. Thank you. But to think today, like to have this compared to when it was pine trees and palmettos, is really an amazing journey. Like to go from where you saw it then to where we currently are today is remarkable. Were you always thinking about the next generation? Was it by default?
I think it's more by default.
Okay.
I really do. I really believe that everybody brings something to everything. I always believe that.
Yeah.
And I always believe that it didn't matter your age, it mattered about your heart. Mm-hmm. And so when I would see a heart that was after God's heart, I would try to pour into it in ways that I never had mentored anyone in anything other than construction work. And so for me to mentor you or mentor any of the others, it had to be because I saw their hearts. I saw they had a heart for God. I saw they desired to live a life that was pleasing to God. And I wanted to help them in that way.
But talk about, what was that like for you to say, all right, I think it's time for someone else to now take the lead or the spot that I've always carried, to trust somebody else with what you sacrificed more than anyone probably will really ever know?
When it came to that point, I knew in my heart for a few months that I needed to release this for it to grow. From a piece of land that was full of palmettos and nothing to something that was actually ministering. And to release that was difficult.
I can imagine.
It was difficult. But at the same time, as soon as I said, okay, it was like, wait, everything's good. This is good. You're doing the right thing. Keep moving forward. Don't try to pull back. Just move it. Let it go.
From me to you, I want to say thank you, because I think you were so sensitive to just the heart of God, even at the challenges or the disadvantages that you may have faced as a lead pastor in your season of pastoring. I say often, like, we stand on your shoulders, truly, without your obedience, your faithfulness, your sacrifices that paved the way for us to have these opportunities, even to have this conversation right now, is because of all that.
It's been quite a ride.
Yeah.
I always say it this way, that your legacy is not the amount of money that you leave your children. Your legacy is what you've planted into their hearts. Love you, brother.
Love you.
I love you.
Isn't that awesome? I wanted to give you guys a glimpse into, thank you, my dear brother. I wanted to give you guys a glimpse into the, just sort of the backstory of our church. And because you decided to attend the 8 a.m. service this morning, you're the only ones that is going to get this. I would love to honor Pastor Tom, if you would stand. Forgive me, online audience, because I know you didn't get to see him, but he's back there, and you saw him on that screen, so you know what he looks like. But we love you and honor you and just appreciate all that you've done to provide a way for us to have what we have today. So God bless you, Pastor Tom. Truly, you are loved here. The founder of the house. Come on, one more time. Yeah. It's awesome. It's awesome. So all of this is on purpose. We are in a series that we've been calling Waymaker, and we've been talking about the fact that God is our Waymaker, and we look to Him to do it for us, not to ourselves, but God has ways that He does that, okay? And so let me say this before I move on, that all of the stories, all the testimony stories that you've been seeing throughout this series, and the full version, the extended version of that conversation, will all be made available to you on our YouTube channel this week. So if you want to see those or go back to those, all of those, we're going to create a playlist, and all of those will be available to you. But I would love for you to just go back. If you're interested to hear the whole conversation, you'll be able to hear the whole thing from start to finish. And it's going to be pretty uncut and pretty raw, and we're just friends, and he's like a father to me, so we exchange in that way. And so if you're interested, you can check that out. All right, sound good? But as we progress as a church and God continues to move us forward, we are truly looking to him to be our way maker, not ourselves, not our own abilities, not our own strategies, but the Father, God, to be our way maker. And so this morning, there's a couple of things that I want to do, and I have like a little mini message that it's very short. I have one point. I'm going to talk about one thing all morning long with you, and I'm going to unpack it. I think it's going to really, really move the hearts of certain people in our church family, and I believe that God wants to do something supernatural. So can I just give you that? I just want you to prepare to receive a supernatural something from God, because I think he deposited something in me so that I can deposit it into you on his behalf. But one thing that we have upcoming 7 days from today is our legacy offering. And this is what we call it. This is our new, I'm gonna move this just a little bit, everybody, bear with me. I just messed up all of our camera team, sorry. This is a legacy offering that we do every single year. And here's what a legacy offering is. Everything that we bring in to an offering, everything on a particular Sunday, which is December 1st for us this year, we give the entire thing away, all of it. We just give it all away. We are going to spread these resources through our community and partners and ministries, all the way through our nation and even across the globe. We are going to be very strategic and specific to bringing this offering and just giving the whole thing away. Here's why. It's because we're in a phase right now where we're looking to God to open doors for us to expand. We need to expand here, and you can see it. Certainly, if you attend some of our other services, we are oftentimes at capacity and sometimes beyond capacity. We need more space, and so logic would say collect an offering and put it toward that space. But God's economy is different, church. Say amen right there. God thinks differently than we do. And when we can get in alignment with him, when we can get ourselves in his way of thinking, then we can walk in his kind of favor. And so what we've decided to do is just be obedient to the word of God. And the Bible says that if you give, it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The Bible actually says the measure of generosity that we use is the measure of generosity that others use back toward us. And so we've just purposed in our hearts that God, we want to be a church of generosity. We want to continue giving. We just want to continue to bless the people that you've called us to connect to and to serve to. And so we just decide that on every one Sunday every year, we receive an offering and then we just give the entire thing away. You may be one of the most generous churches in America. I want you to know that. You give above the national average. We currently operate on about 65% of your giving. What does that mean? That means that we have the privilege to be generous. We are giving all the time into different things that it's moving the gospel in other areas. All we're going to do through this offering is accelerate those movements. So here's what I've been asking. I've been asking for 100% participation. 100%. I would never be audacious enough to try to tell you what to give. That is only between you and God. For some of you, it may be $1 because that's what you can do, but I would love for you to contribute. Be a part of the generosity of this house and don't give to your church, give through your church. Sound good, everybody? Amen. 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 So that's next Sunday. I'm going to talk about money, and we are going to collect this offering, and I'll make it very, very clear on how. So any way that you currently give, you can still give in that same way and give directly to that. So if you're electronic, however you're currently doing it, you can still do it that same way, and it will all go here. Make sense? So I don't want anybody to have worry. You don't need a checkbook or whatever if that's not how you typically give. We will funnel it appropriately. All right, amen. Well, listen, let's get into God's word, because I want to talk to you a message that I have titled For All Generations. For All Generations. I love the fact that we got to show the story of our founding pastor and just a small part of a conversation that we had about some of the sacrifice that he made for the obedience to the Lord for us, really. And the thing that I love about it, in fact, we were talking this week, he and I, and he was referencing one of the stories, one of the testimony stories that we showed. I think it was a couple of weeks ago when Pastor Derek was preaching. And he said that he's on the front row. He's watching this testimony story of people that he otherwise would never have known if not for Church on the Rock. And he's watching what God has done in their lives. And he said, there I am on the front row, and I'm crying, and I'm over the top emotional, because I'm thinking to myself, wow, like, it's bigger than me. It's gone so far beyond me. It was me just being obedient in my season to what God called me to, and look what God is continuing to do through it. And here's what I want to say to all of us. That's exactly how God wants to use you. Amen. It's exactly how God wants to use you. Our God is the God who communicates and identifies himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In other words, he thinks bigger than the person. He thinks generationally. He thinks across the span of time. And the thing that I love about God is that when he uses us, it's always bigger than us. He says, Josh, I want to call you to do something because your life is going to impact other people's lives. And you just fill in the blank with your name that blank, when I want to use you, it's because it's bigger than you and your life impacts others' lives. What I love about being a part of a church family is you'll meet and minister to people I could never connect to, never reach, and perhaps never meet. But God's given you the distinct opportunity to do that. And so I want to unpack it through a story found in the Bible. It's the story of Moses. And I'm going to set the stage just a little bit because I know that not everybody that attends our church knows all Bible stories. Some of you may be very familiar with this, but for some of you, this may be perhaps the first time that you've heard it. Moses is a really interesting character in the Bible because Moses is born a Hebrew. Like he's this child of God through his lineage. He's this person of the Israelite people, as the Bible would call it. And interesting little things going on that the king is trying to kill little boys. He falls into the bracket. So I guess it's a different form of abortion, perhaps, and trying to kill these little boys, and he falls into that bracket, and his mother is like, I don't want my son to be captured and killed. And so what she does, the Bible says, is she makes a little basket, she puts Moses in the basket, and she just floats him down the river, perhaps hoping that he would perhaps find, hey, maybe downstream somewhere, he'll find hope, perhaps he'll be able to escape. An interesting thing happens that the same people that have decreed the death of these Hebrew boys, the wife of the Pharaoh of Egypt finds the basket with the boy, and she grabs Moses out of this basket, falls in love with him, and they call him their own and raise him in Egypt, which is an interesting little dilemma because here's the king trying to extinguish a certain type of people. And then here comes his wife saying, I think we should save one. And how many of you guys know that mama always has the last word? Amen. You've heard it said, happy wife, happy life. So Moses is in this sort of a dilemma because he's an Israelite, but all he's ever really known is Egyptian royalty. He understands their way of thinking and their education and their lifestyle. But at the same time, there's something deep within him that he knows. He's different. There's something different about him. And so the Bible tells a story, and I'm giving you a big pack of history in a condensed amount of time because I don't have a lot of time. So Moses finds himself in this position where he's watching these Israelites who are being held captive in Egypt by Pharaoh, who are being overworked and abused, and he's watching an Egyptian soldier abuse someone that he's blood connected to. It moves his heart in passion to the point that he actually, in defense of the Hebrew, kills the Egyptian. And as soon as he does that, he's on the run for his life. He's gone. Because he knows, man, they're going to kill me back. I mean, there's no way that I'm going to be able to get away with this no matter who I am or who I'm connected to. I've got to go. And this is where I want to pick up the story. We'll go to the screen. The Bible says that one day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. So he's gone out into the wilderness. He's found some beautiful woman. He's gotten married, but he's an outcast. He's not in his homeland. He's nowhere near where he used to be. And he's on the backside of some desert tending someone else's stuff. He's really this nomad. And he led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. And Moses stared, the Bible says, in amazement. So there's this bush on fire, but it's not being consumed. Come on, I'm going to let the story speak for itself, right, for time. And though the bush was engulfed in flames, it did not burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I'd be asking the same question. I must go and see it. And when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush. Moses, Moses, here I am, Moses replied. Don't come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals because you're standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And when Moses heard this, he was afraid to look at God. And then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and to lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, which was indicative of just like an awesome place to be. The land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, all the ites are there. Jebusites, they're all the ites. They're all there. They now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me. And I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. But Moses protested to God. Here's where we're going to focus today. Who am I? Who am I? Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? He says it again. Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? And God answered, I will be with you. And this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. But Moses protested, if I go to the people of Israel and tell them that the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is his name? And then what should I tell them? And God replied to Moses, I am who I am, which is a statement, y'all, that we're still trying to unpack. This is a giant, huge thing. We're not digging into that today just for time. Say to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors. Notice what he's saying again. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to be remembered for all generations. For all generations. I want you to notice a couple of things. I'm going to unpack it pretty quickly. I'm going to give you three things to write down, and we're going to land this plane. There's a few things that I want you to notice in the context of this scripture. One is that Moses is this outcast guy. He sort of doesn't have an identity anywhere. He sort of found himself not married now, and he's got a father-in-law and a family, but he's definitely a bit of a wanderer in a lot of ways. He has this remarkable encounter with the Almighty Living God, and if you've ever had one of those, it will change you forever. It will shape you. It will set some things deep within you. Even if you're the wanderer, you're the prodigal son, you're the prodigal daughter, if you've had an encounter with God, you'll go back because you understand what it's like in those moments. I've been that person, by the way. I want to put all of your minds at ease for those of you that are like, look, I don't know that I could ever go back. Yes, you can. And I'm telling you, go home because it's worth it and it's better there. God has not thrown you out or forgotten you. He still has a purpose and a plan for your life. Say amen right there. And so Moses finds himself just this outcast, and then God begins to communicate to him, but God begins to communicate to him in the way that God communicates, that Moses, this is bigger than you. I am thinking of all people. I am thinking of all of mankind. I want to use you for something that is bigger than you. I want to use you for something that goes beyond you. I want to use you for something that is great and is mighty. But Moses asks a question that I think many of you, sometimes myself, are also asking. And he says, who am I? I think that there are scores and scores of people who find themselves in tremendous identity crisis. The question that you are asking is, who am I? Well, who am I? Because I have these sort of things and these thoughts on the inside of me, and I have these hopes and these dreams and these desires, but my whole life I've been told these things. Maybe it was impactful because it came from someone who meant a lot to you. Maybe it came from a parent or from a family member or a teacher that had a lot of influence that did not line up with the things that you hope for or that you see, and because you have a feeling on the inside, but there's been some spoken word over you in negativity that contradicts that, you find yourself in a crisis of identity wondering, who am I? Perhaps you come from a context in which you have a blended family. Well, I kind of have two dads, sort of have two moms. I don't really know which one is really mine. I mean, there's the biological side, and then there's more maybe the practical side. And then, you know, if you really ask me, it's like, well, I'm not really sure who I am. I'm still trying to discover that and sort it all out, and I don't really know. It doesn't make a lot of sense, and the holidays are stressful because we got a lot of places to go and a lot of people to see, and sometimes it's awkward and sometimes it's tense. Come on. Sometimes we're asking ourselves the question, who am I? Perhaps some of you have a parent that is a different color than the other parent, and you're in a crisis of identity, and you're asking yourself, well, who am I? Am I black or am I white? I don't really know, and where do I stand? Because it's blended in my house. And some of you perhaps have a parent that's from one country and another parent from another country. And so do I have a Hispanic descent or an African descent? Like, who am I? And I think oftentimes we find ourselves in these tensions and these places that pull us between a true identity. Like Moses, do I stick to my Egyptian heritage or my Hebrew heritage? Who am I? And oftentimes I think we find ourselves in desert-like places where we're really not sure who we are. In fact, we're just perhaps settling that maybe I'll never really know. I have a feeling that this was the heart of Moses, that perhaps I'll never know. Maybe I'll always have questions about who I really am. I see Satan attacking our culture and attacking mankind in ways that people can't even seem to discover their sexual identity. The physical evidence of your body seems to not even be evidence enough, because Satan has been playing tricks on the inside of your mind to get you to question who you really are by God's design. It's an identity crisis. I'm gonna go there. And so God is calling the men and women, sons and daughters of Christ. He's calling us to be a people who know who we are, because he's a God who thinks of every generation. And so when God called Pastor Tom to plant this church, he was thinking of you. But that was a long time ago. And some of you guys are like, I wasn't even born in 1992. No, I know. But he was thinking of you. And what I want you to hear me say today is that, listen to me, that God has your identity. Yeah. Listen very carefully. You will find it nowhere else. Right. Nowhere else. Right. Moses was in this dilemma of his identity. I don't know who I am. Who am I? Who am I? I imagine that his self-esteem was probably low. He probably felt like he had blown every opportunity. He probably said, well, I would love to go home, but I don't really know that anybody knows me there. But then I can't go back to Egypt, because certainly they would be angry at me there. And he's just in this place of tension, and he's torn, and maybe that is you. So I'm going to give you just a couple of quick things today. It's very, very simple. It's very, very quick. But I think that these perhaps are going to land very heavy in the hearts of some of you, and some of you need this in big, major, desperate ways. Three things to one point, okay? And the first thing that I want you to see is this, is that God, he calls you. Amen. Listen to me, he's calling you. He's calling out to you. He's beckoning you. I love this story, because we have Moses. He's just out sort of doing his thing. He's out there just being the shepherd like he's supposed to be. He's doing his duty, just doing his job. But all of a sudden, there's this moment that starts to take place, and there's this bush, and it's on fire, and he's like, I mean, it's just a natural thing that's sort of like, this doesn't really make sense. I got to go check it out. But the Bible says that as he drew near, as he got closer, I got to go see this thing. As he drew closer, that's when God called to him. Amen. The Bible says that when we draw near to God, he draws near to us. The Bible makes promises to us that if we will go pursue God, God is in pursuit of us. But here's the beautiful thing. God's already calling. This is why he sent Jesus, because he sent Jesus to make a way for you to have access to him. And there are some of you, you're in an identity crisis. And it might be very, very, like, natural. It might just be one of those things where it's like, well, I don't know, you know, like stepmom, step real mom, like, I don't, it might be something like that. And you're trying to find your identity in a last name, in a lineage. You're trying to find your identity in a sexuality. You're trying to find your identity in a color. You're trying to find your identity in a culture. But God's saying, no, 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 no. Mm-mm. Your identity is in Jesus. And he's calling you. And he's just calling out to you right now. Some of you, you don't even know why you came this morning. Like, I guess I'm going to come. I guess, I don't know. Check it out. A little nervous. They seem okay online. See if they're crazy in person. And he's just calling you. There's something that's been stirring on the inside of you. It's unexplainable. It's kind of like a bush that's burning, but it's not being consumed. And you just, it's like, I don't understand. I can't figure it out. The logic isn't there. It's really not making sense. Oh, that's just the Father. He's calling you. He always calls. He called to me. He's calling to you. He calls, watch. The second thing, though, is that he names you. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he told Moses, your ancestors. No. You have a name, son. You have a name, daughter. You belong to me. I am your father. It doesn't matter what they've said about you, the errors that you have made. It doesn't matter how bad you've blown it or how checkered yesterday is for you. It doesn't matter if you have a legal record. It doesn't matter the background that you have or where you came from. It really doesn't matter to your identity because it's found in Jesus. And he wants to give you a name. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Amen. Because that's my name. It's who I am. He called me. And he named me. And then the final thing is that he'll send you. He said, I need you to go back to Egypt. Back to Pharaoh. I need you to go back to familiar territory that you're afraid of, to reach people you hardly know. Woo. Because I have a plan for you, and I have a plan for them. I've called you, son. I've named you, and now I'm sending you. And somebody in this room, somebody watching this message online or listening to this podcast, he's calling you, and he's naming you because he wants to send you. Some of you, the problem that you're having is you're looking for your identity for yourself. God's trying to give it to you for others. See, anytime it's about me, I miss the point. Anytime it's about me and I'm thinking about my own self and my own comfort and my own direction and my own purpose, I've missed what God's trying to say. And so you're looking for it to make you feel good. God's trying to give it to you to reach other people. He really is. His heart is to use you to reach others. And the amazing thing is that when you do, all of a sudden you start to find this sense of hope and fulfillment and satisfaction that, you know what? This is who I am. I am a child of God. I do have a name. I am somebody that God can use and God can send and that God can deploy for his purpose. He's using me to reach others. I love the stories within our church. It's why we've been showing them to you on screen. It's why we want to make them available to our online audience. It's why we want the world to see why. Because there are some of these people that thought, man, I didn't think God could ever use me. And I didn't think it was possible for God to do a work in my life. But guess what? He called them and he named them. And he's sending them. I'm going to finish with this verse because some of you listen carefully. You need to memorize this. You need to memorize it. You need to put this verse, it needs to be just scripted on the tablet of your heart. It needs to be tattooed in your memory so that you can hang on to this forever. You ready? Here it goes. Psalm 68:6, God places the lonely. Woo. In families, he sets the prisoner free and gives them joy. Yeah. And some of you are like, I don't know who I am. Oh, he wants to put you in a family. It's the family of God. Yeah, some of you guys feel bound. You're just bound up. I have hopes and I have dreams and I have desires, but man, if I keep listening to these people in my life, if I keep listening to all these people saying that I'm no better than my dad, or I'm going to live up to my last name, and, you know, I'll never outrun my past, or my record will always catch it. No, he's just trying to set prisoners free. And then when we recognize that chains have fallen off and I'm no longer bound and I'm not a slave anymore and I belong somewhere and I've been given a name and I've been given a call, I find joy deep within that can supersede anything anybody's ever said about me or any confusion that I've ever had about who I am, because my identity is found in Jesus and it is found in Jesus Christ alone. Amen. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, all across this auditorium, those of you watching or listening online, I would like to ask you, just hang with me. Hang with me. I want to ask you to hang with me, especially if you've been in an identity crisis. Because God, He's calling you. He has a name for you. And He wants to send you because He is the God who loves for all generations. There's greatness in you. Because God built you. And so perhaps you're in this room and you sense it. You've been listening. You've been feeling it. God's, it's like that burning bush thing. It doesn't make sense, but something on the inside of me is going on. He's calling you. He's just calling you. And right now, He wants to name you. He wants you to join the family and take a name. He wants you to be a son and a daughter of the Most High King, Jesus Christ. So if you're here and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, you've never said, yes, God, I'm giving you my life. Jesus, I accept your sacrifice for me. Then I want to give you the opportunity to do that. No matter where you are, whether you're in this room, watching or listening online, I'd love for you to say this prayer with me in church. You know how we do it. If you attend here regularly, I always ask everybody to repeat after me, because some of you, I believe, are going to say it for the very first time. It's something shifting deep within your spirit. Something's changing. I want you to say these words. I want you to say, "Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name."
Thanks for listening to this message from our weekend service.